magic, demons, and the man, the myth, the legend himself, Wongers! My full thoughts on episode 4 of She-Hulk, coming up right now on 15 Minutes of Marvel.
There was an idea.
Because if we can't protect the Earth, you can be damn well sure we'll avenge it.
We can do this all day.
What are they called again?
Anulax batteries.
Harbulary batteries.
As far as I'm concerned, that's America's ass.
I control the truth! Mysterio is the truth!
Boom. You looking for this?
What is up? What is up? And welcome back to 15 Minutes of Marvel, the only podcast that gives you Marvel reviews, news, and rumors in pretty much 15 minutes. I'm your host, Ethan Simi. Today on the pod, I'm talking all about She-Hulk Episode 4, the newest episode of She-Hulk from Marvel Studios. And look, I just want to start this week's episode, by saying She-Hulk may not be great. She-Hulk might not even be good, but damn it if it is not entertaining. I'm having a blast. I'm having a lot of fun watching She-Hulk. And, you know, I think it goes back to what I was saying last week. I've just kind of accepted where we are at with She-Hulk and accepted what it is. And I'm having a blast. I'm having a really, really good time with it. We'll get into this episode, of course, you know, like I mentioned at the top of the episode, we've got magic, we've got demons, we've got Wongers, we're talking all sorts of really good stuff. I thought this episode was a lot of fun. It was really cheesy, it was really dorky, and I could absolutely see how, if you are not in the right headspace, or if you don't want this type of a project, if you want something a little more serious, or if you're hoping to get more character development from Jen and from She-Hulk and all of these things, I could see how this episode is not for you. I could totally get that. And I think that's, you know, totally fair. I think that's totally fine. I am having a good time. So let's get into episode 4. Lots of cool things, but first, some news, some really, really quick news going around Marvel Studios. We've got lots of things upcoming. Lots of people saying they want to be in the MCU. So that's going down. D23 is this weekend. By the time this pod comes out, D23 will have started Friday, September 10th. All sorts of Marvel-related things to be on the lookout for. I have no predictions. I'm kind of just taking it in stride. I'm actually out of town with a couple other families and my family. We're going to the lake for the weekend. We're having a big family get-together. So I'm going to be kind of offline. I'm going to be kind of off the grid, not really paying attention to D23 very intimately. So I just don't want to get a little, you know, I don't want to get too invested. I don't want my expectations to be too high. So who knows what will happen at D23? Obviously, Marvel is expected to make some big announcements. I would assume that we're going to be getting some Fantastic Four news, potentially some casting news regarding that, some other projects that might be coming. Who is to say? But I just want you to know, if you didn't know, D23 going down this weekend. Follow the good friends over at thedirect.com, at MCU_direct. They will be covering this, I can only assume, very intently, doing great work over there, and they'll get you covered. Other things to mention, Thor Love and Thunder is now streaming on Disney+. Very exciting for people that like Thor Love and Thunder. I will not be indulging in that film once again. I think once was good enough for me. I don't know, maybe I'll put on a scene or two, 20 seconds of Gore the God Butcher just to get my little Christian Bale fill. But yeah, you know, I'm good, but Thor Love and Thunder is there. If you're interested, if you want it, it is on Disney Plus, part of Disney Plus Day. Three other things. John Hamm has come out and said he would be thrilled to play Mr. Sinister after his cameo as the villain got scrapped from New Mutants. I am always pro John Hamm. Always and forever will be team John Hamm, so I'd love to see it. John, come on into the MCU, my guy. We could use you, and I think that would be fantastic, especially as Mr. Sinister. I think he would be a really great villain. That would be very cool. Jodie Comer is rumored to be cast as Sue Storm in the upcoming Fantastic Four project. Like I said, we should be finding out more at D23, so we will see if that is the case here, but I love that casting. I love it. I adore it. I am a huge fan of that casting. Jodie Comer is fantastic. Now, the one quandary that I am thinking of when I hear this is that Jodie Comer is very big into the arts. Jodie Comer likes to perform. She likes passion projects that are very cinematic, that are very artful. She comes from a Broadway background. And so seeing her interest or seeing her rumored to be cast in the MCU is interesting to me, because I don't know if she's at that point in her career where she feels like she could commit to the Marvel universe or an IP universe like that. She's recently been in all sorts of good things, but she was recently in The Last Duel by Ridley Scott. Absolutely underrated movie, but she's fantastic in that. So I think that's my only question, but I love it. I am here for it, and I think she would be great in the MCU as Sue Storm. And the last casting rumor, Kim Kardashian, the Kardashian herself, has said it would be so fun to join the MCU. Lots of people have takes on this. Here's my take on this. Look, I'm kind of pro Kim K. My wife wears Skims, wears some of her clothes, and she's successful, she's beautiful. I think she's kind of funny sometimes. Let her take a step. Let her get in the MCU. We have a massive universe. What harm is that going to do? Megan Thee Stallion is in the MCU. We can get Kim Kardashian in the MCU. I think that is totally fair to say. In a significant role, no thank you. Cameo, sure, give it to me. I think that would be fantastic. And I think that it would be a massive driving point of conversation for Marvel Cinematic Universe. Okay, let's dip into She-Hulk Episode 4 here quite quickly, because I'm already running out of time on this pod. Holy smokes. We've got magic, we've got demons, we've got wongers. All sorts of things went down in this episode that I had a really good time with. And a couple things that I wanted to kind of bring attention. Obviously, if you've seen Episode 4, you know some of the things that I'm going to be talking about here. And first and foremost is the magician's name is Donnie Blaze. Right? I mean, right, guys? It's Donnie Blaze? Come on. That is great. And he's doing a bunch of fire magic. This is fantastic. I hope that She-Hulk is warming us up to the idea of getting someone with some magic fire in the universe here, because I love that little shout out. I love the exploration of Wong in this episode. I think everybody did. And I'll kind of touch on it when we get to the end. I think his post-credit scene is quite hilarious, actually. And we will get to Wong. I think he is an MCU stalwart at his finest. And this show is not about character growth. This show is not about storylines for understanding our characters, our heroes, or anything on a deeper level. It is strictly about just watching things happen. Just experiencing life with Jen, with She-Hulk, with Wong, with Nikki, with everybody. It's strictly about just like being there. And I think once you kind of realize that, then it becomes a lot easier to watch. You're not really waiting for like any crazy development when it comes to Jen or, you know, Wong, or like, you're not waiting for this big dramatic reveal of something. You're just having a good time with the characters. And I think this show has been very strong in that right now and demonstrating its ability to do that. Now, I can understand how this might wear on people. And by the time we get to episode 7, 8, and 9, if we're not kind of delving into something a little bit deeper, then I think I'm going to have a little bit of an issue. Then I think I will have some missed opportunity for She-Hulk to get a little bit more serious, to obviously introduce some more characters. We know Matt Murdock is coming, Daredevil himself. So I think when he does show up, we're almost halfway through the season right now, at least the 9 episodes that we are scheduled to have. I think when he shows up, that's a good potential for a dramatic shift. But all of this to say, I think this episode maybe didn't really serve as a bottleneck episode in that fashion, but it definitely put that on display of like, hey, we can just be here for a good time. And I love that the MCU is doing that, because I think we do need more MCU projects that are doing that. We get a Mephisto reference, baby. Mephisto is here. Mephisto is here to stay. Never went anywhere. WandaVision fucking era. Let's fucking go. That's all I have to say about that matter. Super exciting. Madison's a queen. I thought she was annoying as shit, but I thought she was really, really funny. I thought she was great. Like, the character that she's supposed to be is annoying, and she's very good at being annoying. So I liked that a lot. Obviously, she mentions, you know, that she talked to a demon, kind of transdimensional transport here. So he said he would reap her soul and the souls of all that she loved. That is Mephisto, right? I mean, are we not, and we get demons in this episode. Are we not, nobody cares about this? I mean, I remember talking about WandaVision every single week and being like, Mephisto is here because that little spot in the upper left-hand corner is red, like the blood of Mephisto. And people, myself included, were just ravaging for Mephisto. So look, it is here. It is here for the buffet. It is here on your plate for the taking. I loved every reference to that. I thought it was great. I liked that this show is so aware of itself. I think that's another really strong point that this show, especially this episode, has, because Jen herself like breaks the fourth wall and looks at us and is like, oh yeah, I bet you're pretty happy, right? Like Wong is like giving the show Twitter armor for a week. And it's like, you're really fucking hyper aware of like what you are, because guess what? Whether you recognize it or not, that's a fact. Putting Wong in this guarantees them social, you know, commentary, guarantees them social conversations, because everybody likes Wong. It's the, you know, it's the MCU of Wong here. And I love that it is so self-aware. Can it get annoying? Sure. Is it going to get annoying if we're talking about cameos every single week? Yeah, probably. But I'm good with it as of right now. I thought that was great. I like Wong's card trick, a little, you know, little magic, little card trick, another little reference to WandaVision, you know, just saying. Love a good magic trick when it comes to that. I did like the call out from Nikki when, and obviously Jen dating is a very big thing in this episode. And I thought that was structured quite well. Doesn't really do a lot, you know, doesn't really serve a massive purpose, except for the fact of like recognizing that humans are humans in this universe, right? Like adults are adults. Like they want to hook up with people and they have a sex drive and like they find people attractive. I liked that. I thought that was great. I think that's something that I personally have been looking for in the MCU for a while. And it's something that has been completely ignored up until now. And the way it's being handled is absolutely the environment and the arena that it should be handled in when it comes to She-Hulk. So I think that is working out quite well. But Nikki mentions, you know, kind of when they're swiping on her dating app, that hetero life is so grim. I love that we just get like little shouts of that. I think that is a really, really nice touch. And then obviously we get Wong. We get the nickname for Wong in this episode, Wongers. And look, this is just another example of Marvel being so hyper self-aware. They know people are talking about Wong on a constant, consistent basis. Why not give him his own nickname? Why not put a little more precedent on his character? And I think they did a great job. I think that was a great connection in characters and personalities between Wong and Madison. I thought was very, very good, and they really thrive off of each other, which I liked quite a bit. We get this really big demon fight, and I just wanted to bring attention to this for a second. This is, you know, kind of the apex of the episode here. The demon fight works for me, and I was thinking while I was watching it, you know, if this scene, say that this scene showed up in a movie, say that this scene showed up in Doctor Strange, not even Multiverse Madness, like whatever. Say it showed up in a movie on the big screen. If you saw Wong and She-Hulk fighting demons that came from a portal, you would enjoy every second of it. I enjoyed every second of it. I tried to look at it in that fashion. And I think it's an interesting juxtaposition that if that were the case, I feel like more people would respect a scene like that. Whereas now that we're seeing it on our televisions at home, not as at a special showtime, not with a big group of strangers sharing a, you know, shared cinematic experience, I think it plays a little less. I think it loses a lot of that hype and that energy. I just kept thinking to myself, like, what if we saw this in a movie? Like, we would be freaking out. We would be like, holy shit, this is cool. This is very cool. I thought the demons looked incredible. I thought they looked fantastic, and I was a little freaked out. They were pretty good demons, but I just, again, just something, you know, I thought it was a great scene. And I like that, like, Jen just showed up to just like be a Hulk, and she's talking about her dating life while she's trying to get these demons out of here and be a Hulk. Great, you know, kind of combination of her two lives right at that single moment. I like the fourth wall break to end the episode. You know, this is kind of a bummer way to end the episode. Her getting served papers, and never, you know, nonetheless leading into what is going to be coming next episode. And then Wong's favorite drink, gin and tonic. We get that little post-credit scene with Madison and Wong and talking about yak milk. I thought that scene was hilarious. I mean, like, I wasn't out loud laughing, but I was like, wow, this is funny. This is pretty funny. And, you know, that's not like that funny, but I was like, this is good. This is good content. This is good stuff. This is exactly what we should be doing with Wong. And, you know, I love that they're watching The Sopranos together. I hope that is not the last time that we see Madison. I hope that that is not the final thing for her, because I think she's a great character for the show and really embodies kind of how far they can swing in one direction. And, you know, the interesting wrinkle of this episode as well is that, like, Donnie Blaze, this magician, used to study at Kamar-Taj. Like, he used to be a student of the mystic arts, and now he's not. Now he left his allegiance. He left his loyalty. He has a sling ring. I think that opens up an entire world of questions of, like, who is out there that might have access to this stuff? Who is out there that knows these types of performances, this type of magic that could be causing problems in the future? And I think this is our first look at something like that. Overall, I thought it was a good episode. Again, like, I'll just rehash what I said at the beginning. This show is not great. This show is probably not even good, but it is really, really entertaining. It is a really good time. It is really funny, really energetic. It's very light. It's very humorous. And I think that's the purpose that it is set out to solve. It is not on the same levels as Loki or WandaVision or even Moon Knight, right? I feel like it's kind of defining this new genre of MCU, this new wave, this new little niche pocket of projects that we're getting. And I love that for it. I think it's great. High praise. You know, I probably wouldn't recommend this show. I probably would be like, yo, are you watching She-Hulk? Because this is good stuff. I'd be like, oh, cool. Yeah, She-Hulk. You know, it exists. It's fun time. I think it's pretty cool. Wongers and, you know, Jen hopefully hooking up with people and doing the damn thing. Like, you know, I think that's fun. I think that's what it's all about. What are your thoughts on She-Hulk episode 4? You having a good time with the series so far? We are almost halfway through. You know, are you hoping that Matt Murdock shows up sooner than later? I'm curious. What do you think about the series? Hit me up on Twitter at 15 Minute Marvel. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on any major podcast platform. A huge, huge shout out to the patrons of the show: Brandon Clark, Alan Cole Peacock, Ben Lahorn, Corelli Christina, TJ Zorch, Jessica, Carlos Freitas, and Joey Lett. Thank you all so much for your support of the pod. I will see you back here next time. I'm Ethan Simi, and remember, always go higher, further, and faster.